it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, it's time for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And I'm glad you could join us right here. Because where else would you want to be? Yeah, right here with the doctor. Enjoying your weekly prescription of exciting tech news and tech goodness from Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Yes, indeed. We have good things for you this week. And, of course, as always, we want to let you know that we, here at Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network.
This is the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We want to encourage you to go and enjoy all the good podcasts that are members of the Tech Podcast Network. And I'm going to keep the ad, so to speak, brief this week because we got a lot of stuff that we want to cover. We want to get right into it. There's so many good things. I tell you what, folks have been really good to the doctor this week. Folks have been sending me emails. And you remember how last week I talked about how I like the .com in the Expedia commercial. Well, we had one guy write us and gave us this. Listen closely to what he sent. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. He said, well, Dr. Bill, if you like that .com, we'll just put it on the first part of your URL, or the last part, I should say, of your URL. As you know, every week I give you the URL for the podcast, which is thecomputercurmudgeon.com. And I know that curmudgeon, there's a lot of people have problems with that. And they can spell the, and they can spell computer, most of them. But a lot of people have problems with curmudgeon. And so I do that little, you know, spelling exercise in order for you to be able to find the URL very easily. See, I know you pick up this podcast on iTunes, or you may get it off of Odeo, or you may get it from, Podcast Pickle or Blueberry or any of the other services that are out there. You may not be coming to the website directly to get it. Some of you do, I know that, but you need to be able to find thecomputercurmudgeon.com. So that's why he thought it would be cool to send that. I'm going to play it again. thecomputercurmudgeon.com. I appreciate that. That is just so cool. Anyway, enough frivolity. We need to have our official geek culture for this week. Yes, indeed, I know last week we didn't really have geek culture, but this week we do. It's a parody song. I don't even know who did it. I found it on the web. Have no idea who these people are. But it's talking about Microsoft's Vista. So it is very timely because this week, earlier this week, I believe it was Tuesday, if memory serves, this week, Vista, see, we already knew it had been released to manufacturing, but Vista was officially released to corporate clients of Microsoft. And it's only, a year or so late from being released, and that's what this parody song is all about.
Old Steve B tore down the hall, stormed into the PM's meeting, saying, bless my soul, heads are starting to roll, someone here is gonna take a big beating. I heard we slipped a year. I heard we slipped a year. What the top brass feared, we heard we slipped a year.
Well, the smartest dudes were coding SP2, and we had no time for invention. A bomber said, oi, Firefox is a toy, why has it got our undivided attention?
Well, there ain't no way, we don't know when we're shipping. There ain't no way, I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye, Longhorn, it's been nice to know ya. Why did shipping Vista turn out to be so hard? Why did shipping Vista turn out to be so hard?
host in a series of jokes, and we landed on the cover of Newsweek.
Well, there ain't no way. We don't know when we're shipping. There ain't no way. We're taking our time, but we don't know when. Goodbye, Longhorn. It's been nice to know ya. Why shipping Vista turn out to be so hard?
Oh yeah. Why the shipping Vista turn out to be so hard?
Shipping Vista turned out to be so hard.
You know, this had to be written by somebody in Microsoft. Oh yeah. Why did Chip and Vista turn out to be so hard? Goodbye, Longhorn. I like that. And I like what they said earlier in the song. I don't know if you caught it, but it said everybody, all the good programmers were all working on Service Pack 2 for XP. So that's why they didn't get Vista out when they were supposed to. Yeah. Okay. But I thought that was pretty cool. Our geek culture for the week. Why did Chip and Vista turn out to be so hard? Now, here's the thing. If I look out across a grand scene, that's a vista, okay? But I've heard a lot of Microsofties pronounce it vista. And we've got a couple of programmers at work, where I work. One in particular who actually used to work for Microsoft, he calls it vista. Why is it Vista when it's the product from Microsoft and Vista when you look out across a scene of, let's say, mountains in the distance? I don't know. But I noticed in that song they used both types. They said Vista and Vista during the song. So maybe that was part of the parody. I don't know, that people are having a hard time figuring out how to pronunciate it correctly. As my son and I were kidding about a few days ago. There's all kinds of ways to pronounce things. You know, my dad used to say that there's no rule for given names. In other words, you know, there are people who spell Bailey without the E, B-A-I-L-Y, and there are people that spell it B-A-I-L-E-Y, and there's some people spell it B-A-I-L-E-E, and there's even a few that spell it B-A-Y-L-A-Y. There's all kinds of ways to spell it, and there's all kinds of ways to pronounce it. So, you know, I tell people it's Bailey, like a bay that a ship would come into, and Lee, like Robert E. Lee. Okay, Bailey. So, and it's B-A-I-L-E-Y. Okay, that's just me. But anyway, there you go. First item in the blog this week is web sales and Black Friday. Now, Black Friday is the phrase in the business world referring to the Friday immediately after Thanksgiving, which we just had recently, and that is supposed to be, at least formerly, was one of the biggest days for sales and for commerce to occur in the year. Why? Because people are off work, so obviously they can go buy stuff, and Christmas is coming, so they want to go buy stuff, and there's sales going on, so they want to go buy stuff. So basically, they want to go buy stuff, right? Okay, so that's why it's a big day for commerce. Well, it turns out, also, the Saturday before Christmas is really the biggest day for commerce, because there are those of us that shall remain nameless who like to do our shopping just right before Christmas. Well, like to do our shopping? No, that's not quite accurate. Who have to do their shopping right before Christmas? And of course, it's on a Saturday because you're off work usually, most folks. And so that's why that is truly the biggest shopping day. But Black Friday is pretty big, okay? eBay, it turns out, was the online winner for Black Friday this past Black Friday. Data published on Saturday, immediately following the Black Friday, showed that eBay was the winner. Overall internet traffic growth was well below last year's traffic. Now, my question is, how much of it was due to that, or how much of it was due to the fact that, for instance, Walmart was hit with 3.2 million visitors and their website couldn't handle it? Yeah, so maybe that's why their sales weren't what they should have been. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see how the rest of the shopping season goes, but they were not terribly impressed with Black Friday this past Black Friday. So, there you go. All right, next item. There's a how-to on how to compile the CentOS Linux kernel. Dude, how geeky can you get when you compile your own Linux kernel? Dude, you have arrived, man, right? Okay, this is a step-by-step exactly how you do it. And, of course, CentOS Linux. Now, they have this particular site, howtoforge.com, has kernel compilation instructions for a lot of different kernels, but I chose to highlight CentOS because that's the one I use for all my servers in my network of servers. So there you go. Exactly how to compile the kernel made available for you by the doctor. That's your prescription for recompilation of the kernel for Linux. Gotta love it. All right, next item. There's a new release of the Democracy Player. Now, there's a secret that I have for you. I mentioned it in fleeting in the last podcast, and I'll mention it again. There's something coming. There's something on the horizon. It's exciting, and it has to do with IPTV and Dr. Bill. Da-da-dum. So stay tuned. Now, if there was an IPTV program, and if it was a video podcast, how would you get it? Well, you'd get it through RSS feeds, right? Things like, oh, let's say DLTV with Patrick Norton and Robert Herron. How do you get that? Through an RSS feed. They publish the RSS feed of their DLTV video casts available for download over the web through both direct download and BitTorrent. And so, let me ask you this. What if, just what if, there was a group of industrious people, programmers, let's say, open source programmers, let's say, and they decided to come together and collaborate in an open source fashion and collaboration to develop a tool that would allow you to subscribe to a video cast and have it be downloaded to your computer whenever it was released automatically, and even built in BitTorrent so that it would pull it down from all the BitTorrent sources that were available for said BitTorrenting. What would you call that? Why, you'd call it the Democracy Player. Now, why would you call it the Democracy Player, you might ask? Because, I would say, that it is democracy at work to have all these free and available open video casts throughout the internet made available to you and put out by people who were friendly and nice and wanted to share information freely throughout the world, which is, of course, the beauty of democracy. So, the Participatory Culture Foundation, don't you love that name? That just sounds so cool. Participatory Culture Foundation created the Democracy Player. And they also created something called the Broadcast Machine. So on the server end, you've got the Broadcast Machine that prepares the broadcast of the video cast. And then you have the Democracy Player, which is the client that can receive them. And when you put the two together, you've got an awesome platform for disseminating video casts to the world. Cool stuff. And this newest release looks cool, works great, and uses way less RAM than the former releases. They're still in beta, so the beta releases are getting more and more frequent, and improvements are being made. But let me tell you, it works great. I watch DLTV and Cranky Geeks. Yeah, you heard right, Cranky Geeks. Go to crankygeeks.com for John C. Dvorak and the Cranky Geeks. Hey, I'm a computer curmudgeon. I like Cranky Geeks, okay? What can I say? So there you go. DLTV, Cranky Geeks, and soon we're going to have Undo TV from the Tech TV guys. That'll be coming as an IPTV program as well. And, of course, something else may be coming from Dr. Bill. Keep your ear to the ground. Okay, don't really keep your ear to the ground. That could get messy, and there might be mud, and you get ear mud all up in your ear, and that would be really yucky. So don't do that. Don't do that. But stay tuned. All right. Next item, Linux for Christians? What? That's what I thought, too. But apparently, you know, there is a distribution of Linux that covers everything. There's distributions of Linux for just about every group there is. Well, guess what? There's now a distribution. See the tongue. It just, you gotta, Granny needs to prune the tongue. You remember Granny Clampett, how she used to try to do that? Anyway. Distribution of Linux for Christians called Ixux. Ixux. See, now, if I had issues with my tongue and tried to say Ixux, then, of course, I'd be in even worse shape. So, good thing I don't need it pruned. See, that comes from Ixus, which is a Greek word meaning fish. And if you take the first letters of Ixus, the word, and take each one at a time and use the Greek word, Isios, Christos, Theo, Vios, Soter. You get Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So that's Ixus. That's why the early Christians use a little sign of a fish. And you'll see a Mercedes driving down the road with a little sign of a fish on it. You'll go, dude, must be a Christian, you know? So that's where the sign of the fish came from. So what this guy did that wrote this particular distribution is take Ixus, the Greek word for fish, and made Ixux, which is I-C-H-T-U-T-H-U-X. Boy, that looks really crazy. I-C-H-T-H-U-X. Ixux Linux. Now, what this is, essentially, is Ubuntu Linux with KDE, so it's Kubuntu, okay? Then he took that as his base, and he built it using Dapper Drake. He then added Bible Time, which is a Bible package that you can get for Linux, where you can do searches, you know. On Windows, I use a freeware product called eSword, e-sword.net. If you are using Windows and you want a free and excellent Bible search tool with Strong's Concordance built in and a whole lot of other goodness, go to e-sword.net. Now remember the dash. There's an E and then a dash and then sword.net. Download it. It's the best there is. And the guy gives it away. He just does it as a ministry. It's great. I use that one. But on Linux, I use Bible Time. So the choice here of Bible Time is good for Linux, so he chose that. Then he included KIO Sword for Bible study integration into Conquer. Then he installed several Bibles by default, KJV, the Spanish version, the French version, the Hebrew version. Then he added Christian console tools like Verse and Bible KJV, Christian emoticons theme, pretty amazing, in Copete, then KDICT, which is a dictionary. He added Easton and Hitchcock Bible dictionaries in KDICT, and then Cumulus Hebrew fonts, and he then improved default settings for better Christian experience on the computer desktop. Now, I don't know what that means, you know, but the bottom line is this is pretty interesting, and it's kind of cool to me how the open source community, you know, is just makes all these things available, and people can take them and package them in different ways, and this guy comes up with, or this group, really, I guess, you know, their open source collaborators that came together and did this, came up with Ixux, Linux for Christians. And you can find that as at ICHTHUX.com. So check it out. Pretty neat stuff. And if you might say, well, hey, I have no interest at all in a Linux for Christians. Well, okay, fine. But it's interesting, nonetheless, that it even exists. So, there you go. All right, next item. The evil SCO case. Now, you know SCO, the Santa Cruz operation, SCO, they brought a lawsuit against IBM claiming that there was code in Linux that was proprietary intellectual property of the Santa Cruz operation, SCO, who supposedly had bought the code from Novell for Unix. And, of course, Novell disputed that, and there was a big hoo-ha and a big controversy. And basically, SCO is evil because they're trying to and no longer produce a good product. They're just trying to get money from litigation. Not good. So, that case has been languishing, and it's been doing worse and worse and worse, and SCO has just been getting the shorter end of the stick, and finally the judge is putting the whole case on life support. It's about time. We're talking years this is going on. So, my little heading here is the fat lady almost ready to sing? You know, when the fat lady sings is when you know it's over, the opera. Well, is the fat lady warming up in the background here? Because U.S. Magistrate Judge Brooke C. Wells handed IBM another significant victory in its fight against SCO. Grocklaw's eyewitness reports indicate that it was a rough day for SCO, with Judge Wells ruling that the company would not be able to add any further claims to its case beyond what it revealed in its final disclosure. According to one eyewitness, IBM counsel accused SCO of sandbagging when it came to complying with court orders. The judge agreed, directing IBM to draft her order on the case. The end result is that SCO is left with the evidence generated prior to the close of the discovery period. The company will be unable to introduce new evidence via expert reports, making it difficult, if not downright impossible, to introduce baseless new allegations or further change its story, because that's exactly what they were doing, is introducing baseless allegations because they're all a bunch of turkeys. You heard it right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. They're all a bunch of turkeys. And we just had Thanksgiving. Okay, let's not go there. All right, next item, Geek Software of the Week. Oh, where's my thing? I don't have my thing. Oh, I'm going to go look for it here. Let's see. I don't have it. I just don't have it. I'll have to put it together. I'm sorry, dude. You know, he gave me that drum roll and the cymbal. And I still haven't put it together, man. I got to do that. Oh, well. I have digressed again. So I won't. I will keep moving. Geek Software of the Week. Wildfire Instant Messaging Server and the Spark Instant Messaging Client. Now, if you're looking for an open source, free, excellent instant messaging server for your enterprise, no matter how big it is, could be a little bitty enterprise, could be a great big enterprise. Either way, this is really the way to go. This thing rocks. Okay, Wildfire by Jive Software. Now, Jive Software is a cool name. Hey, don't jive me, man. So, jivesoftware.org is where you go to find the Wildfire server. Now, it's easy to set up. I mean, really easy to set up. And it provides enterprise instant messaging. It is both available commercially and through the GPL open source. That's cool. It uses leading open protocol for instant messaging, which is XMPP, which is also called Jabber. So it's an open protocol. And Wildfire is incredibly easy to set up and administer and offers rock-solid security and performance. Wildfire is cool. And the other thing I found about it that I like is, let's say you want to open up your enterprise IM just a little, kind of crack the door just a little, and let other people from other companies come in and access your enterprise instant messaging server. See, it's not really a good idea, in my humble opinion, to have people IMing using, let's say, AOL or Yahoo or any of the other things, people that provide it, you know, generally, because that traffic is out there and can be accessed, and you're opening up basically all of your potential corporate secrets with no supervision through your own private instant messaging server, you can lock that down. And one of the things WildFire allows you to do is lock down that access. They can still come in with an AOL client or Trillion or any of the other clients that are out there. Okay? But you can invite them to come, give them the access, and then record all the activity and maintain recordings of all that activity. And there's a new law that just went into effect Friday, as in yesterday as I record this podcast, that makes it basically mandatory for you to record all that traffic anyway for your business, just in case it is ever needed in court, which I find to be a problem on a great many levels. But that's another topic for another time. But the thing is, WildFire will allow you to do that, so you can comply with that law, even though I don't agree with the law, but you can comply with it, because you got to. The other thing is, the Spark open source cross-platform IAM client, which of course is optimized for the WildFire server, but it can be used for others as well. It includes enterprise class features such as built-in support for group chat, telephony integration, strong security, offers exceptional experience with user-friendly features like inline spell checking, group chat room bookmarks, and tabbed conversations. The plugin architecture allows you to build plugins called Spark Plugs. Isn't that cute? Spark Plugs. Ah. That quickly and easily add new features tailored to your specific business needs. Spark is centrally managed from within the WildFire administration console, making it easy to provision, update, and manage all your clients on the network. Ta-ta! So there you go. Use WildFire and Spark and happiness will follow. Ah, you gotta love it. There you go. That's the Geek Software of the Week for this week. And that brings us to the end of another exciting Dr. Bill podcast. So there you go. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write me. First of all, lots of people have been writing me. I enjoy that. DrBill@thecomputercurmudgeon.com.
thecomputercurmudgeon.com.
I really like that. That's just so cool. And, you know, he sent me one, and then he sent me another one, because on this last one, he put just a little reverb on the end of the .com just to make it just a little cooler. Let's see if we can hear it.
thecomputercurmudgeon.com.
Kind of a perfectionist, isn't he? Yeah. But anyway, it's really cool. So, send me your emails. Write to drbill@. That's a little squirrely looking little thing that's called an at sign.
thecomputercurmudgeon.com.
Isn't that cool? I like it. Anyway, write me. I want to hear from you. And send me your questions, please. Please, please send me your questions. I want to hear from you and we'll answer them right here on the podcast. And it's about time. There goes the music. So we're going to slide on out of here. Remember, until next week, the doctor is out of here.